Well, good morning. If you would, please go ahead and take out your copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13 today. Growing up, Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays. Unlike most families, we didn't have the traditional turkey Thanksgiving. My family had a Brunswick stew. My dad would get up early on Thanksgiving morning, he and my mom, and they would cook Brunswick stew for not just my dad's side of the family or my mom's side of the family, but they would cook Thanksgiving stew for our neighborhood. We would invite the neighbors, the people who lived down the street, and we would not just eat lunch, but we would also eat stew for dinner. And my parents had this big deep freeze that was about this big, and we would eat stew for the rest of the year. And believe it or not, I grew accustomed to really enjoying Brunswick stew. For most of America, Thanksgiving is just a holiday. It's a holiday that affords us an extra long weekend, a time away from work, time away from school. It's a time where some of us fill up our news feeds on Facebook with those things that we're thankful for. But for the follower of Jesus, Thanksgiving is actually a way of life. It's these defining characteristics that show the world what we are all about. It's a constant, ongoing description to the rest of the world of who we are. Thanksgiving is an expression of the reality of what is happening in our hearts. If we think about the text in Philippians 4 that I'm getting ready to read, we get a peek inside of the Apostle Paul's heart. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Hear the words from Paul. Paul says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Let's pray. Our gracious God, we're thankful for Your Word. This morning I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in Your sight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Paul says, "I am to be content." Now, this might come as a surprise to you, or then again, it may not, considering the circumstances that Paul is writing this letter. Here we find Paul, a content religious prisoner for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's writing this letter from a prison in Rome. The danger for us today in the church is that sometimes we allow something to steal our thanksgiving. We allow a Thanksgiving thief to come in to our own lives. And this thief is a lack of contentment. If we're not content, then we can't be thankful. We just can't. It's impossible to be thankful if we're not content. Because contentment opens up the passageways of thanksgiving in our lives. A lack of contentment will be a roadblock for thanksgiving in your life. Now let's get this straight. Contentment is not a fairy tale. Contentment is not a myth that is for everyone else except for you. Contentment is possible, according to the scripture, for everybody. But a lack of contentment can be one of those things that each one of us shrug off. We think that it's okay for us to not be thankful or have a lack of contentment because we see everyone else doing it. We think it's one of those acceptable sins that has just crept into the church and it's okay for us to just settle down there. We know what it looks like when we personally are not content. We know what it looks like when our hearts are chasing after the foolishness of this world. And when we catch up to the foolishness, the results are always the same. We have this temporary pleasure, but the temporary pleasure only lasts for a season, and it's always followed by a letdown. You come to that place where you realize that the pleasures that you're seeking, they can be found. You find them, but ultimately, it's a disappointment because your heart is going to go searching after something else, something new, something different, because you believe the great lie that you can find contentment in something apart from Jesus Christ. Paul tells us here in Philippians chapter 4 that we cannot gain contentment from external pleasures. I want to read to you a quote from funny man George Carlin that he said several years ago. He says, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge, less judgment. More experts, but more problems, more medicine, and less wellness." The world has an answer to contentment. It's more. It's more. More. More stuff. More technology. More toys. And Paul's telling us that the answer to contentment is not more. You see, contentment is not an external pleasure, but it's an internal satisfaction that's not dependent on your income level, your last job evaluation, the number of children that you have or that you don't have, or your spouse or your future spouse. Being content means that we're completely satisfied in Jesus, with Jesus. So how are we content? Paul tells us a couple of truths about contentment. First, he tells us that contentment is learned. Contentment is learned. I want to use the illustration about my kids, and I think that most everyone can resonate with this. This is true for all of us. Dakota has a birthday a couple of years ago, and he's dying to get this toy, this certain toy that's going to bring him all of life's joys and all of life's happiness. It's going to make life meaningful for him once he gets this toy, and life is going to be worthwhile. Well, he gets this toy, and then a month later, the toy is back in the box, and it's back on his shelf, barely used and seldom enjoyed. The lie is that this toy promised happiness, this toy promised fulfillment, and it was going to finally make him content. My point is, the heart that is not content in Christ will begin to immediately journey to find replacements. We will look until we find something else that promises us true happiness and contentment. That's why Paul tells us that contentment is learned. Contentment is learned because we will eventually find out and realize that this world is full of things that are never intended to bring us satisfaction. Instead, our stuff, all of our things, will become an endless vacuum that will never bring us satisfaction. I want to ask, are you learning contentment? Have you traveled down the road of false satisfaction and came to the place where Jesus and Jesus alone is your greatest satisfaction? We learn contentment from trials. We learn contentment from our own failures and our own mistakes. We learn contentment from the times where we go through life and we make these mistakes and we're not content. And we make these things up and we realize that contentment is worth learning. Paul also tells us that contentment is not situational. Here's another truth that he tells us. It does not depend on the circumstances that you're in. Paul knows this firsthand. He tells us if you are living in abundance or if you're living in poverty, you can experience contentment. And this is important for each one of us to catch. While Paul was in Philippi, he actually experienced both poverty and abundance. You might remember that he and his companions spent some time with this lady named Lydia, who was a lady of purple cloth, and this gal was wealthy. Lydia made a great deal of money, and his time there, he experienced what some of us would call the good life. But on the other hand, Paul was also thrown in jail while he was in Philippi. He was living in dungeons. He was sleeping on dirt floors. As Charles Dickens might say, Philippi was the best of times, and Philippi was the worst of times. But it doesn't matter where Paul is. It doesn't matter if he's hungry. It doesn't matter if he's had plenty. It doesn't matter if he's sipping champagne. Contentment is possible in abundance and poverty. It could be easy for all of us to miss what Paul is saying and think that contentment is only possible in abundance. One commentator says this: for the unbelieving world, money takes on a divine status. It's the God of this age, a God for which many people are willing to sacrifice their happiness, willing to sacrifice their children, their health, indeed their own lives. The workaholic father, seldom home and never in church because he's too busy providing for a family, was once a well-known fixture in our society. He is now given way to a workaholic couple who hardly knows their children because they are too busy paying off expensive mortgages and car loans. This kind of zeal for wealth borders on the irrational. Paul tells us that contentment can be found in times of need and in times of plenty. However, it will never be found in your having plenty. This morning, this is where I want to end this short message. I want you to ask yourself, what life circumstances or what roadblocks are keeping you from Thanksgiving? If you look down at verse 13, Paul tells us this. Paul tells us that he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. You see, Paul can be content. Paul can say these familiar words to us without hesitation because there is a power that is greater than Paul at work here. It's a greater power that is in his life than any circumstances that he faces. There's a power that is at work in him than any roadblock that he faces now or he will face in the future. There's a power at work in him that is greater than anything earthly. His strength is a power that spoke the world into existence. His strength is a power that gave sight to the blind. It's a power that raised the dead to life. The secret to contentment for Paul, the secret to contentment for us, is to allow the power of Christ to be our strength. The secret to contentment for us is to allow the power of Christ to work and live inside of us, and for us not to chase after the false promises of this world. So don't let a lack of contentment steal your Thanksgiving. We can be content through the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power of Christ that will be our strength. Let's pray. Lord God, many times we put the roadblocks there ourselves. We covet the things that our friends and our neighbors have. We don't take time to rest and reset our gaze on you. So, Father, we ask that you would give us your strength, that you would help us to stop chasing after the things that please us, and you would help us to chase after the things that please you, and help us to rest and take comfort and strength in the things that are found in you. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.